Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim vayet
va'ele shemot bnei Yisrael havaim mitzrayima et Yaakov
ish
v'yikra el Moshe v'yedaber Adonai elev me'ochel moed le'emor v'yedaber Adonai el Moshe b'midbar Sinai be'ochel Eile hadevarim asher debar Moshe el bnei Vayar Elohim kitov Vayehi erev Vayehi bocher yom hashishi Vayehulo hashamayim v'haaretz v'kol tzva'am Elohim. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? If you believed Moses, challenging words to the hearers of Yeshua's day. But what about today? Perhaps equally as challenging. As Christians and Messianic Jews alike often find the Torah of Moses difficult to penetrate, to follow, to understand, and apply. Following the traditional weekly Torah cycle, we'll consider each portion in light of Messianic faith, just as Yeshua said, "For he wrote of me." So let's consider the heart of the Torah.
Shalom, friends, and welcome to Messiah in Life. We are at the last portion of the book of Shemot, or Exodus. The portion is called Pekudei, which is speaking of the accounting that Moses does as the tabernacle is being assembled. And of course, the tradition says that Moses, during the days of the consecration of the priests of Israel, he took the tabernacle down and assembled it each day by himself so that they would learn how it all came together. Now, of course, this is a physical impossibility, not even related to age, is advanced age at the time, but just the impossibility of maneuvering some of the elements of the tabernacle itself. So the rabbis see in this a miracle, the miracle that is associated with the tabernacle. And one of the reasons why Moses is doing this accounting and why the Torah includes it at the conclusion of the book of Shemot before we move into Vayikra or Leviticus is that Moses wanted to ensure the children of Israel that he had been faithful with what was provided, that he was a good steward, we might say, of what was provided to him. And this also speaks to how we should be good stewards of what the Lord provides us before him. So this accounting, now it's an interesting connection. If you follow my blog at themountainmensch.com, I wrote a piece earlier this week, a devotional on this portion. I called it Home. And in that, I included the definition of Pekudei, meaning to attend to or to care for, to look after. But I also connected it to the words of Joseph in Genesis 50 and verse 25, when he says, or the Torah records, La Omer Pechod Yivchod, that Joseph is saying to them, the Lord will certainly attend to you. In other words, he is going to rescue you. He will come to you. He will fulfill his promise. And in this care, this concern, this attention that he is giving to you, remember me in this. So Pekudei has to do with also remembering and caring for, looking upon. And I think that speaks to the accounting itself that is happening here. And we must remember that Moses is the one who turned back in Exodus 13 to retrieve the bones of Joseph. Exodus 13 and verse 19, if I recall correctly. So when we think about this concluding chapter, we're seeing all of the elements of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, coming together. The sons of Aaron are learning how to assemble. The Levites are learning how and where to position and why. And then, of course, the Lord shows his approval of all of this. As we'll read in just a moment from Exodus chapter 40, which happens to be the verses that I'll read, really is not just a summation of the building narrative, but it is also something that speaks to us so deeply in faith of who we are in the Messiah and how we can be assured of his approval for us in Christ. So let's read in Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 34, and I will conclude at the end of the book. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the cloud of glory filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So through all of the journeys of the wilderness generation, the Lord was in their midst in a way that was viewable, I would say. All of the camp, no matter where you were, you could see the presence of God manifest right there before you. And so as we conclude this book, we'll be saying just this simple three-word statement, Hazak Hazak Vanit Hazak, may we be strengthened. And when we think about the strength that comes to us by the Word of God, the strengthening that happens to our hearts, our minds, our souls, and the strength that we are able to move through in this life physically is a real blessing. So as we've just read, the cloud of glory rested over the tabernacle and then filled the house. The kavod of God filled the house, the weightiness of his presence. And Moses and, of course, Aaron were unable to enter at that point in time. And there is a great deal of discussion in the rabbinic literature about, if his presence filled the tabernacle to the point where Moses could not enter, how was Aaron able to enter to minister on Yom Kippur? How were the priests able to minister day by day at the menorah and the golden altar and so on, and the table of showbread? And there are various theologies that develop because of that. But today I want to focus on one tradition that leads us to an understanding of who we are in Messiah. And it's a traditional teaching that comes to us by way of the early rabbinic commentators. And it's a practice that goes on even till today. So there is a tradition, in many streams of Jewish thought, whether it's in Reformed, Conservative, Orthodox, of whichever type, that started really, if memory calls, very early in the rabbinic period for a Jew to say 100 blessings a day. 100 blessings a day. And quite often when brothers and sisters in the body of Messiah see this or hear of this tradition, the idea that they draw from it is that it's somehow legalistic. And that's simply not the case. There is something beautiful behind it. There's a picture that develops for us in faith that is very important. Now, if you've heard any Hebrew blessings and the construction of them, you'll probably remember that nearly every, if not all, Hebrew blessings begin with the same formulation. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe. So 100 times a day, Let's consider that. At least 100 times a day, the name of the Lord is lifted, sanctified, and recognized as the source of everything. As we look upon something beautiful, as we receive good news, as we receive food, as we behold the sunrise, the sunset, whatever it may be, the Lord's name is being lifted, sanctified. He is being recognized as the source of the blessing. And His presence is being recognized as well. So by saying these blessings, the rabbis note that each day, it's as if the individual was, like Moses, over the week of the sanctification of the priests, building up the tabernacle. So every day, it's the idea of building a tabernacle for God by the brachot, by the blessings. So how would that be? Well, it has to do with the foundation. In Exodus 38, verse 10, we have a very important detail that is often overlooked. And it says very simply, very plainly, seemingly unspiritual, certainly unsupernaturally, we might say, their pillars were 20 and their bronze sockets 20. Now, if you were to account for the total of sockets that you read of in the tabernacle, as it's all of the intricacies of its construction were given, you would find that it has 100 sockets. 100 sockets. Adnehem, sockets. So the Hebrew word for socket or foundation is Eden. Eden, which is from the root Adon, meaning Lord. You've probably heard, well, it's sometimes traditional in services to sing Adon Olam at the conclusion of the Shabbat morning service. Or Adonai, you've probably heard, well, I just said it a moment ago, but you've probably heard that as well. Now, the connection between Eden and Adon is the sense of strength. Adon or Adonai being Lord or Master, and in that we understand His strength to be. So in these sockets, we are relying upon His strength. His strength. So those 100 sockets, Eden, where the point of contact between, they were the point of contact between the lofty place of worship and the resting or abiding presence upon the Lord, or of the Lord upon the earth, we might say. So it's an important point of contact, a point of connection between heaven and earth, worship and life, and so on. It's a very important connecting point. So by saying these 100 blessings, the rabbis say, again, they see that daily reconstruction of the tabernacle in the person. And the person who recognizes that the Lord is the foundation of life. And of course, in Psalm 127, verse 1, we read, if the Lord does not build it, if the Lord does not build it, the house, lo yivne bayit, if He does not build the house, they labor in vain. Those who build it labor in vain. So the foundation of the messianic life of renewal, as Paul amplifies it, is the confession with the mouth that Yeshua is Lord and faith in the heart that God raised Him from the dead. This becomes that faith foundation. Why? Because Lord, Yeshua, Jesus is Lord. And again, we connect that to the socket. We connect it to His lordship, His position as the resurrected King. So we connect Yeshua, Jesus as Lord, to those connecting points in the tabernacle. So by this faith and confession, the Lord by the Holy Spirit now takes this old clay of waywardness and sin and shame and guilt and fear, defilement, and He works it into His temple. He renews it. He takes what seems old and wasted, worn out, defiled, and He renews it by His healing power, and He fills that new temple, tabernacle, with the Holy Spirit, whose foundation is the Messiah, the confession of His lordship. I shared with our congregation, the Messiah congregation, a video of a potter, a young man who took a block of clay from a pile of other blocks of clay. And I was amazed as he threw it down on the wheel. That's one of my favorite illustrations, is the potter's wheel, the splat on the potter's wheel. And I was amazed actually how hard he did throw. I guess it really is throwing a pot. He threw the clay on the wheel and dipped his fingers in water and began to form this, in a matter of seconds, to form this beautiful pot with a lid and all. It was incredible to see. And I think about how the Lord reworks us, and he allows us to experience, in a manner of speaking, that reformation. As he works out some of the rough edges, as he takes care of some of the ways in which we have been weakened, and he strengthens it. And it all begins with that confession of lordship, that recognition that God has in fact raised him from the dead. And in him we have that connection between heaven and earth. And we might even go back to the vision in John chapter 1, where Messiah is speaking to Nathanael, and he says that you will see the angels of heaven ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. And here he is illustrating himself as that connecting point between the supernatural and the natural, just as the socket was that connecting point between the supernatural and the natural. So Paul understood the temple metaphor as a means of expressing the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the disciple, of the renewed. So the Holy Spirit is supplying that foundational support, the beams, the pillars, forming the structure of the temple of God, as again, he will fill it. And what did Messiah say of the coming of the Holy Spirit? You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And here we see that promise of Emmanuel, both in the abiding and in the coming. I will not leave you as orphans. And this is a beautiful picture back to the tabernacle in the wilderness, that God's presence there was the presence of the Father in the midst of the camp to assure his people that they were not being left as orphans. So this is the promise of the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside of, to give comfort, to wrap his arms around, as he speaks softly to us, assuring that his presence is heaven's seal of approval. And that's exactly what the indwelling presence in Exodus chapter 40 was, the seal of the approval that Moses had done this work according to the pattern given to him. So while Jesus was on earth, he was the Parakletos, but then when he ascended to heaven in order to prepare the place for us that he had promised, he sends another helper, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul explains that the Holy Spirit is also the seal of approval upon our hearts as a pledge until the Messiah returns. And we see that in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. If we think back to the camp of Israel as they began to make their way into the Promised Land, having crossed the Jordan now under Joshua, and that's an important detail, under Joshua's leadership. Remember that Rahab takes up residence in the camp of Israel. This adopted, reformed prostitute from Jericho. What was the pledge, the sign, the seal of approval for her to be there? But the abiding presence of the Lord in the camp as it still made its way into the land, and then as they settled the land, his presence there. So when we begin to recognize the grace of God working in our life through the Holy Spirit, we see there the builder at work who's not laboring in vain. The Lord is building the house, and he is not laboring in vain. And he assures us that we belong to him. So he will speak through you as he gives utterance. We see that in Acts 2, verse 4. He will distribute gifts to each of us as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. He will mature us, not into the gifts, but into the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God, so that when others look and partake of your life, because you're there, as the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Psalm 34 and verse 8. So each time we bless God, we are a standing column in his house. And we see that promise repeated in Revelation 3. So the Holy Spirit is set. The Holy Spirit is building, renewing, forming, strengthening, encouraging, connecting, speaking, comfort, hope, help, stabilizing us as we move along the way. So as we move along the way through the wilderness of this life, the seal, the pledge, the hope, the acceptance of God is now with us. So friends, as we conclude this study of the book of Exodus, one that begins with seeming abandonment, death, a decree of death to the Father dwelling in the midst of his people, not remotely, but directly. And the hope that comes from that is we make our way through this life, we can look back and see how the Lord acted in history, to know how he's acting now in the present. So we grab a hold of this hope, we take this hope, we confess with our lips that Yeshua is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and as Paul says, we are then saved. And in that salvation, we begin to experience that journey through the wilderness that reformed, corrected, and brought us into the marvelous presence of the living God in the promised land. So I hope and pray that through this book of Exodus that you found encouragement, you found blessing. And as we move into Leviticus, don't be afraid. I know Leviticus can be a bit dense, seemingly dry, but we will pull out the most important aspects of each portion as we make our way through. And as we see Messiah and the type and the shadow and the sacrifice and how the sacrifice, having been accepted, would lead us to live a life that is holy unto the Lord our God, and evidences that in our life among others. So friends, as you go back into the life, the place that God has called you to, the times that he has called you into, wherever in this world that he may have stationed you and commissioned you, remember that the Holy Spirit is there with you. From one side of this world to the other, I bless you and I pray for you, no matter what you may be facing today, that you remember Emmanuel, our Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, is with you. Amen. So until next time, beloved friends, I say this bracha for you. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha b'shem Hashem Yeshua. May the Lord bless and keep all of you in the mighty name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen.